إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. On the subject of masajid, which we started yesterday, some of the hadith which emphasize the importance of the masjid for the community. In one place, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I wish I could tell Bilal radiallahu anhu to call the adhan, and then I would take some young men with me and collect firewood and go to the houses of those who are praying in their house. He is not saying I will go to the house of the one who is not praying. He is saying I would like to go to the house of the person who is praying inside his house, and I would stack the firewood around the house and I would burn the house down with that person inside. Yes. Now, for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say something like this, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said things like this. He was extremely soft in terms of what he said. There are only very few places where he gave such wa'id, such warnings with such severity, and this is one of them. And this refers to, as I mentioned earlier, this does not refer to the people who are not praying. The people who are not praying, according to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have exited Islam. So he is not talking about them. He is talking about people who are praying, but they are not coming to the masjid. They are praying in the house. So if a person is praying in the house without a valid Shari'i excuse, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I would like to burn down this house and the person inside. On the other hand, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a person makes wudu at home and then he comes to the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him one hasana, one good deed, wipes out one sin, and increases one daraja in Jannah for every step that he takes to go to the masjid. So many Sahaba deliberately did not move their houses close to the masjid because they said, we want to walk so we can get the reward of this. And that's why I say, in today's world, when you drive to the masjid, then inshallah al-musta'an bi'iznillahi ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the same reward for every turn of the wheel of your car, inshallah. So that's why I say drive small cars, because number of turns is more in the wheel. If you have big wheels, they turn less.
I am the luckiest one.
They are the luckiest. Inshallah, Mustafa. Allah Ta'ala ki chance bahut badi hai. Allah jo chahe karte hain. Then Allah Subhanahu Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the reward of the salah in the masjid is 27 times. In one place 25 times, another place 27 times the reward of the salah prayed at home. Now, salah prayed at home does not mean it is valid to pray, meaning for some shara'i reason you had prayed at home, so your salah was valid. But the same salah, if you had gone to the masjid, you would have got 27 times the reward. So, alhamdulillah, biznillahi ta'ala, we prayed Salatul Fajr by Jama'ah in the masjid. So, we got 27 times the reward for Salatul Fajr. Now, the key thing to hear in this hadith for us to reflect on is that on the day of judgment, when things are weighed, the scales, then imagine the value of getting 27 times for having done something only once. Here it's because we don't see the reward in front of us, I won't say we don't have value, but definitely it's not so real. But on the day of judgment, we will see it, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Then we will realize the actual value of this. Right? Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the reward of the muazzin, not the imam. The imamat is a responsibility, and it's a may Allah save us from imamat. It's not something to desire. It's a big problem. It's a very big, huge responsibility and accountability. But for the Muazzin, Rasulullah said, if you realized, he said to the Sahaba, if you realized the value of calling Adhan, and if you realize the value of praying in the first saf, then he said, you would fight for it. You would literally, you know, struggle and fight for this, for this honor of calling the Adhan and praying the first. In another place, he said that you would draw lots to say who should do this. So, it's something of such value that you have something to fight for. Because obviously, for the Muazzin, he is calling the people for Salah. So, he will get the reward of whoever comes. And then the Muazzin also, if you see the what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he said, call the Adhan, call the people for Salah in the house of Allah in the Kaaba. And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, there is nobody here. Allah said, that is my job, I will send. Whoever has to come, I will send them. You call the Adhan. So the hukum of calling the Adhan is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it applies to the Muazzin. So whoever has the privilege of calling the Adhan, now, this is something which is so critical and important. Many times there is this debate, you know, Muazzins call different ways and voice is not good and the tune is not good. Obviously, one should call correctly. I mean, voice and tune and so on, this is all frills. As long as the pronunciation and talaffuz is correct, that is fine, alhamdulillah. But, so people say, why don't we just play, you know, say the haram, adhan of haram or some place, beautiful adhan of some Muazzin. We just play this on the mic or loudspeaker. Why should? And in some countries, in the Middle East, they are actually doing this. But this is a very big mistake, because you are depriving the individual from this ajr of calling the adhan which Rasulullah ﷺ promised. So it's not a question of some, you know, cosmetic reason how it should sound nice and this and that. The issue is, by all means, train the Muazzin to call the Adhan correctly and nicely. I'm not against that. But I'm saying that the reward of the Adhan is what we should think about. Not a question of saying, you know, did it sound nice or did it not sound nice. But the reward is so much. So also the reward of praying in the Saf. Rasulullah ﷺ also was extremely particular about making and forming the Saf. He used to literally walk from one end of the Saf to the other. When the Saf was formed, he used to walk from one end to the other, and he would adjust people. If somebody was not standing, you know, if somebody was a little bit forward, he would say move back. And that's why when we make the Saf, we should align by the heel. The reason for that is because the length of people's feet is different. Somebody has a long foot, somebody has a short. So if you are aligning by the toes, you know, that is the line, then you will not be in one line. But heels are all at the same level. So, if you align by the heel, that's why I always say heel on the line. So, if you put the heel on the line, then the saf will be correct. Also, Rasulullah ﷺ said, touch shoulder to shoulder. Many times people stand with their feet wide apart and they are trying to touch the foot to the foot and the shoulder is not touching. Nabi ﷺ said, Hadu bainal manakibi wal aqdam. First, touch the shoulder, then the feet. So, in the enthusiasm for touching the feet, we leave the shoulder. So, must stand shoulder to shoulder. Literally, the shoulder must touch the shoulder of the brother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is like when people stand in the saf, it's like a bunyanum marsus. It's a wall, strong wall, you know, brick to brick. There are no gaps between them. So, this issue of establishment of salah, which Allah told us to do, and is very important, and then part of the establishment of Salah is the formation of the Saf. It's not only the thing, but part of that. Then the reward of establishment of Salah by building Masajid. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who builds the Masjid, Allah will build a palace for him in Jannah. And they asked him, does that apply to building the whole Masjid? He said, anyone who takes part in the building of a Masjid. So, wallah wala, maybe you only gave one brick or something, maybe you gave a small amount. But this is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this huge reward for anyone who takes part in the building of a masjid. So, whether somebody has built the whole masjid or he has taken part in the building of it, so he has some contribution is there. So, this reward of building and establishing masajid. That's also the reason why once a masjid has been established, then this becomes automatically waqf ilallah. And there is no requirement that this waqf must be made in some legal document and stamp paper and should be registered here, there, nothing. As long as salah is being done in a place regularly and this is established, that place, whether it's a piece of ground, whether it's a house, whether it's a shop, built for a masjid or used for a masjid, whatever, this becomes a masjid and this remains a masjid until the day of judgment. That is the reason why in Islam, unlike, for example, in the West, we find many masajid are old churches. People go and buy a church, they sell the church, but you cannot sell a masjid. In Islam, it is haram to sell a masjid or to use that space for anything else. For example, this is a masjid. It is not permissible to convert this tomorrow into anything else. Irrespective, I mean, it's not a question of, you know, haram place, halal place. Even if you want to convert this into a school, which means that salah will not be done anymore, but good activity, teaching, no, you can't do that. A masjid is a masjid. The only exception is that you say, okay, this masjid from here, we will move it to some other place. So, from here to there. So, the masjid still remains. But this place, supposing we say we are going to build up, you know, something, whatever, right? Or maybe there is a road coming through here. So, there is, you can't have a building there. So, can we move this to some other place? Yes, this is permissible. There is no problem with that. You can move it. But you cannot take a masjid and you cannot sell it. You cannot convert it into something else which is not a masjid. This in Islam is not permissible because a masjid is the house of Allah. And once it's the house of Allah, it is not yours. So, how can you do anything else with it? Once it becomes the house of Allah, it's the house of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one to protect. And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is in the Quran itself, يَصُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned those who used to stop people from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, for stopping people from worshipping Allah in any way, including going to the masajid, including shutting down masajid, including Allah not allowing people to pray and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Humul kafirun, on the day of judgment, these people will be among the disbelievers. Right? I mean, obviously, they are disbelievers. Which Muslim will stop another Muslim from coming to a masjid? Which Muslim will shut down a masjid? If a Muslim is shutting down a masjid, then he is not a Muslim. As simple as that. So, therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these people are among the kuffar. They are the people who are disbelievers. So, the issue of masajid and the importance of masajid is something that we should not need to remind ourselves, because this should be self-evident. But if it is not, then we definitely need to remind ourselves about this. Finally, the issue of congregational prayer also, as far as Jummah is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned in the ayat of Surah Al-Jummah, they refer to Jummah itself specifically by name, but they also refer to all the other for salawat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, وَإِذَا نُودِيَ لِسَلَاةُ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْءِ. Allah said, when you hear this adhan for the salat of Jummah, and this refers also to all for salawat, Allah said, race towards the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave your business. Allah said, leave whatever it is that you are doing. Very specific instruction with regard to what we must do with any other worldly activity. So, Wazarul Bhai also refers to watching World Cup football and, you know, ODI matches. So, obviously, that is more important than Allah Kareem. So anyway, the point being that it is salah is the most important thing, and therefore the establishment of masajid as the center of the Muslim community. We ask Allah to make us among those. Finally, I must not forget, this is very important. Among the people who will be given the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day when there will be no shade, which is the day of judgment, is the person whose heart was attached to the masjid. This is among the seven people Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam named specifically. One of them is a person whose heart was attached to the masjid. So, any person who, obviously this means somebody who prays in the masjid, but also somebody who helps masajid, who supports masajid, who does the khidmat of the masjid, and so on and so forth. In whichever way, these are people whose hearts are attached to the masjid. And therefore, this person is the one who, inshallah, Allah will give the shade of his arsh on the day when there will be no shade. The whole issue of jama'ah, the whole issue of the community coming together, knowing about each other, inquiring about each other, the welfare that goes with it, all of this is associated, alhamdulillah, with the masjid. May Allah make us among those who support masajid, establish masajid, pray in masajid, and protect masajid. And we ask Allah to protect all the masajid and those who protect them from all kinds of evil. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.